Right. Yeah, good to see you guys again. So we're in the Gospel of Luke. One of the things we like to do here at Harvest is just work through a book of the Bible, work through a passage of Scripture. We think it's just a really effective way to get to know God and to grow in the faith. And then it really provides a guideline for me, I think, as far as a preaching schedule and making sure we're not necessarily just sort of cherry-picking aspects of Scripture, but the prayer is that with the ministry the Lord will allow me to have, that we can work through the whole canon of Scripture. We'll preach through old and new. We're in the new now, and most likely after that, we'll grapple with and dig into an Old Testament passage as well. And so it's been a blessing already just to be in this text kind of week in and week out. But let me read the passage of the morning for us here today. We're picking up where we left off last week. So we're in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, and we'll pick it up in verse 13. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. You may be seated this morning. Yeah, please join me in prayer if you would. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we acknowledge that we are in desperate need of you. We're in need of your grace. We're in need of your guidance. We're in need of your presence. And God, as we look at our lives, we just acknowledge that we need you at the epicenter of our marriages and our relationships. We need you at the epicenter of our careers. We need you at the epicenter of all things. And as we look at the world, Lord, just the tumultuous nature in which we find things within the nations, we just, in humility, Lord, we just kneel before you today and ask that you'd provide peace that only you can provide, that you'd bring hope that only you can provide. God, that you'd establish a true everlasting kingdom as you are and are establishing now. And by your grace and by your sovereignty, we ask that you'd invite more people into the shelter of your wings, under the shelter of who you are. God, we need more of you. So God, I just lift everyone up here this morning to you and ask that you just guide us as we look to your word, that you would encourage us. God, that you would minister to us in a special way, and that you give us hearts to receive, that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and that we would leave here encouraged, challenged where needed, but that we'd leave here taking strides of faith, a true life in you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we live in a world that is busy and noisy and loud and promises all kinds of things. We live in this day where there's just all kinds of messages being sort of thrown out there. Like if you're on social media, every like brand and every sort of social media influencer is trying to like push or promote or make an announcement about something. And it's like, hey, tune in on March 2nd because we've got big news for you and it's going to change your life. And I've experienced enough life now that I realize like it's not going to change your life. Like what are we talking about? So you tune in, there's like this big reveal, like big announcement, big news. You tune in and someone's like, "Hey, we're launching like wide leg jeans and fuchsia." And I'm like, "What? Like what are we, you know, just all of these messages, all these big announcements, all of these things trying to garner our attention." Sitting with the kids not long ago and sort of an advertisement sort of popped up on the radio. And our son, I won't tell you which one, you can guess, we got two of them. One of the boys is like, this is just sort of a ploy to get our attention so that we buy something. I was like, I mean, yeah, pretty much. A lot of messages, a lot of the big announcements, many of them promising life change, like take on this new diet, enter into this new workout routine, like all it's going to just change everything. And sometimes, and in some cases, there is change or there is encouragement. But we've been in the middle here of Luke 2, and we've been unpacking little by little a great announcement, the greatest announcement about Jesus, our hero, our savior, our rescuer. And I can, with confidence and assurance, say that this message that was delivered to some shepherds millennia ago is transformational. It is timeless. It literally has changed the course of human history. The universe hinges upon this reality of a God coming for our rescue. It is a great announcement that is the announcement of all announcements. But it's not something that just was foretold and then promised and delivered and given at that point some 2,000 years ago. Like, this is an announcement of great news that has eternal ramifications for us today in 2026, the first day of March. I can't believe we're here in March already. And the big question for us is, have we received this announcement? Have we received this message? Have we received it and internalized it? Because it's not just a message, but it's a message about an individual, a key person, the God of the universe, veiled in flesh, the second member of the Trinity. Have we received it? And has this good news of great joy that's for all people begun to change me? Has it begun to change us? Are our lives now tethered to this message? Are we now synced up and aligned with this good news about this key hero, this protagonist we talked about last week? Recently, I brought Kristen's vehicle in because it needed an alignment, evidently. I didn't know that was a thing anymore. I'm not super handy, so like, we also needed tires, probably because I didn't align her vehicle or she didn't get it aligned. It's a whole other story. Is your life, is my life, is Harvest Church's collective life aligned with this good news, this king? It's easy to sort of hear it and say, yeah, I want to pay homage to this God, and then just kind of go about my day. It's easy to be here and we'll sing of his goodness, but are we allowing him to invade all of our lives, all aspects of our lives? Are we allowing him to chisel away at the God self that we all sort of drift towards? May we be aligned with Jesus in this message that was delivered to those shepherds that awesome night. Verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. And so the shepherds were out there near Bethlehem and the countryside and those pastures caring for the sheep. An angelic being comes out of nowhere and delivers this incredible news to them about Jesus, about the Messiah's arrival. And they're blown away. They are filled with fear. But the angel says, hey, no. This is good news. Don't be flipped out. Don't freak out. Don't lose it. This is positive. This is life-giving. The one that you'd been waiting for, that many had been waiting for, that the prophets spoke of, and the Hebrew scriptures were pointing towards, has now arrived. This is great news. This leads to great joy for people from all walks of life, all nations, all tribes, and all tongues. This good news is for the people that are called of God, will trust in him. Good news. But out of nowhere, this one angelic being is now met by 1,000 other angelic beings. Suddenly there was with this angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God in verse 14, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So this one messenger of God is now joined by another, probably about 1,000 angelic beings. And so the visual is this: heaven opens up before these shepherds. Like, where did they come from? We don't know. We just, the, sort of the visual that Luke's giving us is that out of nowhere, this concert of all concerts, these phenomenal, flawless vocalists, these angels here further reinforce this message that they'd received from this one angel. Now this elation and celebration of heaven is brought before them. So just the beauty and the majesty and the glory of heaven is opened up before them. We touched on it last week, but I just want to highlight the recipients of this message are, it's so significant that the good shepherd, the shepherd of all shepherds, is delivering a message from God on the shepherd's behalf to these shepherds. That the one that was going to guide and care for our souls and bring rescue was coming to deliver this message to these guys that were often overlooked. He didn't go into the heart of Jerusalem. He didn't go after the Pharisees. Does God have a heart for the Pharisees and the self-righteous? 100%, absolutely. Praise God, he does. But in humility and with great intentionality, he comes to deliver the gospel to those that were often forgotten, to those that were off on the periphery, overlooked often, I would say underappreciated, significant in the culture, but they weren't power brokers. They weren't the big decision makers in the culture and within the community, politically or religiously. They were just doing their thing faithfully, kind of out of the purview of many. That's who God determined to bring this good news to in this account to first. Sometimes you do feel in life underappreciated or not seen or undervalued. Sometimes that's valid. But you need to understand that you have a whole other identity in the living God. Your well-being, your vitality isn't predicated on what others say of you or if they see you or not. Your identity and your worth is based on what God believes of you and says of you, what God's doing in your life, and the identity that you have through the living God. Certainly, you will serve faithfully and lead faithfully in different sort of areas at home and in the community and to the nations. You may be sort of off in the periphery in the eyes of others, but not in the eyes of God. He knows your struggle. He sees your efforts. He's there with you and you pursue him in prayer. He's there with you all the time. He's with us now as we open the scriptures. The scriptures make it clear that he's everywhere, always at the same time. This is a God who came to us, who is present to us, who is available to us, which is just nuts. I mean, it's incredible what I mean by that. It's just, it's beyond logic that this holy, flawless God would condescend, lower himself, step into our darkness, come into our reality, be born in an animal trough to pull up to us, to lean into us, to bring us from the darkness and corruption into true life. And that we can have a connection with this righteous, holy, loving God is incredible. It's supernatural. It's miraculous. That God would stir in our hearts and bring us to a place of awe that we can know him and that we can walk with him. And that his desire is to walk with us. Just wild. Transformational. You're never alone. You're never unseen by God. He is for us and he is with us. Does that mean he's for my sin and my corruption and the things that I get wrong in my marriage? Absolutely not. But he's faithful to refine and to change and to shape, to mold us with his grace, to draw our hearts back to his heart. Shepherds were faithful doing their thing out in the pastures, and God says, I have a message for them. I have hope for them. I have a life for them. So at Harvest, my prayer is that we would spend a lot of time walking with Jesus, being refreshed by his presence and refreshed by his word, and that like Jesus, we would just go in to wherever he sends us. That we would go into the periphery and the nooks and crannies of life, that we would be found in the back alleys in our community with the hope of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. That he would send us to the places that others may not be willing to go. Not because we're special or because we have it all figured out, but because he is great, because he has it figured out, and because the gospel, as we were reminded of last week, is for all people. It's not that all will receive it, sadly. But the angel let them know that good news was theirs, that things were changing, that great joy was going to be theirs through Jesus, this loving rescuer, this great God. That he was doing something, and that this good news was for all the people. So the Lord's going to position you today and tomorrow and this week in places that he may not position me, but he's gathering us as one to worship him, to seek him, to trust him, and then he scatters us really intentionally. He's going to send us into some areas, some regions, to some friends and neighbors and coworkers that might feel overlooked or without hope. But God is positioning us, you, sending us to minister and care, to listen, to serve, to give, and certainly to share the hope of Jesus. So there they are out in the fields. These angelic beings now met by 1,000 other angels, and they're going nuts. Why? Because according to the fullness of time, when God determined this Messiah was going to come, and now Jesus was here. He's here. So the angels are further reinforcing the message of God to these shepherds, and today rekindling this message of hope and transformation, the good news, the gospel. Heaven was going wild, erupting before them there in the fields that night. Glory to God in the highest. The angels are saying, fame and honor and worship be to this one true God. In the far reaches of heaven, may he receive worship and praise. Glory to God in the highest. There's this hymn that we sing, this carol, right? Gloria, I'm not going to sing it for you, but Gloria, right? In excelsis Deo, comes from the Latin, and it's taken right from the scriptures, right from this account. In excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. And they're singing, and they're celebrating, giving God all the honor and all the fame, because he's done what he promised he would do long ago, which is not let us go into the abyss, not let us drift away in complete chaos and destruction, but that he would come for us. That he would begin to unpack all of this nonsense and all of the things that we got wrong, that he would come and make things right. Man, we give you honor, our God, because you are doing what you promised. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. True peace is now becoming a reality through Jesus for those that receive Jesus in faith. There was no peace outside of God. Adam and Eve existed in a flawless connection with God, and then sin entered in and everything was wrecked. Everything was ruined. There became this great gulf between them and God because of their sin. There was this great disconnect. God in his kindness covers them with animal skins, right? The first sacrifice, but he sends them out of the garden, out of God's presence as they had known, and everything was right and everything was perfect. But now as a result of the rebellion, that shalom and that connection and that peace that they had with one another in that first marriage and the peace and connection they had with God there before that, all of that went away. There was a fallout. There was a correction. God in his holiness extended his wrath and a rebuke upon that reality because they didn't trust God or take God at his word. They were deceived and chose to do something else. Sin entered in, and the horrible aftermath of that is death. I mean, Adam and Eve were never, they were going to live for eternity. Like, there wasn't, death wasn't a part of the blueprint. God could have just done away with everything and just, no, we're good. But in his mercy, he did sustain life. In his compassion and grace, he was making a way and had a way forward. And ultimately, Jesus was going to come. But they were disconnected from God. The reality was that death became a reality. Now they had an expiration date. Disease became a reality. They were aware of their nakedness. Shame was coming in. They were mindful of these things. They were just overwhelmed. They were hiding from God. God in his mercy protects and covers, promises that there is a future hero to come. Right there in Genesis 3:15. And the great tragedy, in addition to sin and death, on top of all of that, like the icing on that horrid cake, was that they were disconnected from God. There was no shalom with God. There was no peace with God. There was no pure fellowship with God at that moment. And yet he would restore it little by little through his leadership, the leaders of Israel, through worship. But ultimately we needed Messiah, the rescuer. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. They're singing and celebrating because God's followed through on what he promised he would do. He would come and begin restoring what was broken, recovering what was stolen, and establishing life and peace now through Jesus for you and for me was on the table. There was the reality and hope of shalom with God, covenant with God, relationship with God, fellowship with God in a way that is unhindered. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. The peace of God, the grace of God is experienced and felt by all peoples, common grace. However, there is this aspect of salvific grace and peace that is only received and experienced by those that place faith in Jesus. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. The author of Hebrews 11:6 makes it clear, we cannot please God without faith. We need the gift of faith from the living God so that we can respond to Jesus in faith and experience this everlasting peace. This isn't temporary peace that Luke is getting after. This is supernatural, everlasting peace so that we can be well connected. So the gulf of death and corruption and depravity and sin and evil can be remedied, can be traversed, bringing us back to the fold, to the deep fellowship God intended us to experience with him. You know, this worship service in heaven is going on right now. The praises of heaven over Jesus and his work and his character and his holiness are going on now. And this is a concert you don't get tired of. This is worship you're not weary over. You're not bored in the presence of Jesus, because you were made for the presence of Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Can you imagine the adrenaline? One angelic being then met with probably 1,000 angelic beings singing the praises and glory of God, reinforcing the good news of Jesus, that Jesus, the living God, was there and born and arrived incredibly. How fired up were those guys? The combine is going on, if you guys are into football. Sorry, it's March. We're talking about football. Sorry. The combine is going on, and often those athletes, they make them run the 40-yard dash to see how quick they are, how quick their feet are. I would have loved to clock one of these shepherds running the 40 after they met God's messengers. The adrenaline, the urgency. They were hungry to see, "God, what you've said, is this a reality? Was this just a mirage? Was this some type of, like, were we hallucinating in some way? Like, did you see that? I heard that, and I saw that, right? You did too, right? Yeah, I think. Let's go find out. Is Jesus born as was promised and as we were told? Like, is this a reality? Like, what on earth? Like, how incredible, what phenomenal news, what an incredible reality that could be if we believe it to be true. Well, let's go find out. Verse 16, and they went with haste. We need to bring that word haste back. Students, weave that into your papers this week. Like, you don't hear that a whole lot, but hey, like, urgency and purpose, and they were moving. They were getting after it. So with haste, with this purpose and pace, they take off. So they went with haste, and look what happens. As was told, as was promised, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. If the king says it, it comes to pass. If the king promises something, it comes to fruition at God's appointed time and season. Do we understand the timing always? No. Do we know the precise timeline on things yet future? To some degree, yes, but do we know the day and the hour on some of these things? No, but God does. And when he promises, he has the ability and the desire to bring himself glory by bringing these things into focus for us, our well-being, and for his kingdom expansion. Just as was told, they found it to be. Verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They had this great encounter, and they had to tell somebody. They went and interacted with Mary and Joseph, and they needed to just share all of what they heard and all of what they saw, and they wanted to unpack it there with Mary and Joseph and others that may have been in the fold as well, surrounding Jesus in those moments. We talk about the things that change us. We talk about these key moments in life. Like, I remember getting engaged. I was telling everybody. The guy got engaged. Like, I'm at the gas pump, the guy next to me, not in context at all. I got engaged, and he's looking, what, like, okay, buddy, whatever, pump your gas. Like, cool. You had a grandchild. You told everybody. Life moments, the things that change us, that encourage us, we want to just tell the world. We want to celebrate. These shepherds, they were doing their thing, and when they least expected it, God broke in. Many of you, that's your story. You weren't looking. The scriptures make it clear. Like, we might be searching because there is this God-sized void in us, but we cannot search unless the God of the universe, who is sovereign, is tugging and drawing us. I know when I met Jesus, like really met Jesus, I was not looking for Jesus. He broke into my reality to get a hold of my heart and my attention and my life. And it wrecked me in a good way. And he's continuing to wreck me and shape me and challenge me in good ways. These guys were not looking for Jesus. They were not looking from this message from heaven. Heaven went looking for them. And that's what God's doing here, now, and what he's done in your life. This, as Billy Graham called him, he is the hound of heaven. He just pursues and draws near to us. He breaks in. He breaks sort of through the confusion of our sin, the worship of the self, just getting caught up in all kinds of stuff. He breaks in, and he changes us. And as he's changing us, you cannot help but tell people about this awesome God. We talk about the things that are changing us, that have changed us. So they go with haste. They probably ran like a 4-second 40, you know, and they were like, pew. Like their sandals were on fire. Like it was not, like they go. I'm messing, but I'm serious. They ran and they found everything as God says it would be. Hold tight to the word of God. As God says it will be, it will be. This kingdom that is unfolding little by little, but you look at the headlines, you look at the world, you're like, God, you're in control, you're sovereign, and I know your kingdom is being unfolded in those that follow you, but like, it some days is hard to see it. Some days, just being candid, it's hard to believe it. But he's laying it out for us. He's come for us to bring us back to him and to give us a confidence that the one that orchestrated all of this is orchestrating all future events, guiding you purposefully to the future he has for you. He's holding tightly to you. He's leaning in to you. May we rest in that, and may we lean into him more and more. And as he's changing them and he's changing us, we got to tell somebody. We can't just keep it in. We got to go and just tell the God story that's being written in and through us by Jesus and the Word of God and the movement of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everyone's like, what is he talking about? Yeah. They went with haste, just as God said it would be. It was, and they just said, let me tell you everything that we were just received, everything we just received about this child. Went with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Do you understand who this child is? Do you understand, Mary, this the significance of your baby? She was starting to understand. She'd already met Gabriel. had a picture of an understanding, a little bit of what was happening, but more and more she's understanding the trajectory of Jesus is unlike any other. Going back to verse 10 and 11, I'll just read this. I promise not to get preached. We just covered this last week, but I can just picture the shepherds echoing verses 10 and 11. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. Mary and Joseph, do you understand the news that this child is bringing to the world? Do you understand? Fear not, because I bring you great news that will be for all the people. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Do you understand that this Savior was born to die? He's going to come and shed his blood. He is going to go to the cross, laying it all down. He's our rescuer. Do you understand? We talk about the things that change us. They couldn't be silent. They had to just give glory to God, to begin to unpack just a little bit of what they're understanding about this child and his significance. Verse 18, all who heard it wondered. They were just in awe and wonder at what the shepherds had told them. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary was learning and understanding little by little what was taking place. Could she understand it fully? No. Even now, the perspective we have, like we're unpacking, we're unlearning how significant this Jesus is in that moment there. But she was just cherishing those moments. When we started packing almost a year ago last spring around this idea of coming back to South Dakota to serve amongst you, I was going through our storage area in the basement at our house, and I came across this massive tub. And long ago, Kristen had the forethought to save some of the keepsakes the kids would bring home from school, which is good because she has more of a heart than I'm like, man, that's going to be a lot of stuff. Like, can we have a parameter? Like, so she set up a guideline. Anything that they had a handprint on or a fingerprint on, anything with their handwriting on, short stories, little statements, we were going to keep. Let me just tell you, with three kids, like preschool and pre-K and now further up in the rank, it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff. I don't know if you guys do it here, but like the Thanksgiving turkey hand, you know that one? We got a lot of turkeys at home, like different colors with the feathers and the fingerprints. Kristen loves her kids. She was cherishing those moments, pondering and reflecting and marking those moments because she knew significant things were happening in their development. Mary is a loving, wise, present mother in the progression of the Eternal One, was cherishing and thinking through and pondering every word she was receiving, not only from the angelic being Gabriel, but from these shepherds. Cherish those God moments in your life, whatever the dynamic, whatever the circumstance. Treasure them. God was showing up in profound ways, and this God still shows up in profound ways in our lives, day in and day out. Cherish, treasure, pray through, make note, journal. Process all of what God is doing, even here today. So Mary was just sort of mulling and turning these things over in her mind and in her heart as she was hearing these things, just like you would as a mother or father, just watching the time progress with your kids. She was just reveling in the goodness of God at work and the Son of God who she was holding right there. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They process all of it. They're overwhelmed with gratitude. And this encounter that they've had with God and with truth led them to sing. And they left there sharing the good news, interacting with those I would imagine they would come into contact as they went back to their flock. And they were just shook by God. Glorifying, praising God for everything that they'd heard, everything that they had seen, as it was promised, as it was unpacked for them. They found it to be true. The Son of God was there, and they were overjoyed. Verse 21. At the end of 8 days, when Jesus was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Gabriel told Mary, his name will be Jesus. Make note of this, or maybe this is a refreshment, but Jesus means the Lord saves, or Yahweh saves. His name is intentional. There's not a mistake in Scripture. Every name, every detail has purpose. Jesus indeed saves. Jesus indeed has come for us. Jesus indeed is changing you. He's changing me by his grace. By the grace of God, we're being rescued and we're at peace with him. And he's pleased with us because of the grace and salvation he has sovereignly extended to us that we receive in faith. And now, like the shepherds, we cannot be silent. We now enter into this rhythm of worshiping him, of praising him, of following him. And as he's changing us and transforming us, we cannot help but go and tell somebody of his goodness. So do we know Jesus personally, intentionally, intimately? And if we know him, who is God positioned in your life that you can live out the gospel and yet certainly share the good news? Some of you have great friends, family members, and you're growing in your faith. You're like, you know what? I need to tell my cousin. I want to tell my cousin about all that Jesus has done and will do, and I need to tell my cousin about what Jesus is doing in me. Do we know him personally? Is he changing us? And if he is, who can I tell? Who can I share that with? Who can I take that step of faith out with? Even this week, I said, man, can we visit? Can we connect? Can we break bread? And I want to just tell you and encourage you with the good news of Jesus. You might not say it that way. You just might say, man, God's stirring up in me. I want to visit. I want to hear. I want to listen. I want to see what you're up to. And I just need to share with you how God's changing me and the good news of the gospel. Don't be afraid to share it, to tell it. It is good news. It does lead to everlasting joy. It is for all people groups. But people need to hear the gospel shared and taught and preached so that they can have the opportunity to receive Jesus by faith as well and enter into this everlasting joy. Lord, I thank you for these moments this morning. We're grateful for your word. God, thank you simply for just coming for us. We keep saying it, we keep coming back to this reality, but you have pursued us. You have sought us out. As we've been adrift, as we've been hardened, as we've been caught up in sin, you lovingly have pursued us. So God, thank you for that. Thank you for the hope that we have in you, Jesus. Lord, there's no other way. Now, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So Lord, in love, we go out living in that reality. And yet knowing that it's your desire that none would perish, with grace and compassion, we just go and share the hope of the gospel, trusting your sovereignty, trusting your love, trusting your plan, that those that are yours, that you will call yours to yourself. We get to just go into the mission field into the harvest to share the hope of Jesus, to do it with love. God, bless your people today, Lord. You're stirring in us and we haven't trusted you as Savior. Lord, that maybe today would be that day that we would just bow to you, that we would yield to you in faith, that we'd acknowledge that Jesus, you are the Savior, the flawless one that died on the cross, was buried, that rose on the third day, that you are the one that lived a flawless life, that you are our hope, our master, our Savior. And today we just turn from our lives and our ways and we just acknowledge the error of our ways and sin and we repent and we trust in Jesus. We confess him today as Savior and Lord. And now with courage we go out, we enter deeper into this community, into the body of Christ, to then be sent to be your servants, your messengers, those who would tell stories of hope and mercy, stories of grace, your stories, your kingdom ways. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you for the focus. We're going to observe communion here over the next few minutes. We had some communion packets at the door, and my apologies, I'm the absent-minded pastor. I didn't do a great job making sure we distributed, so Kristen's got, if you need a communion packet, we'd love to just, we can pass the basket around. Our conviction at Harvest is that as we observe communion, it's for those that have turned in faith to Jesus, that are followers of Jesus. We hold here that this is really significant, though. This is it's kind of crazy. Just with our mobile day, we have these little packets, and it just seems odd. Like, oh, here's communion in a pocket. But as we get more established, we'll maybe have other methods for distributing. But for the time frame the Lord has us in, we've got these handy-dandy wafer juice packets. Our conviction here at Harvest, though this is extremely significant, it's a key part of our spiritual formation and discipleship. I would say, and I'm too jargony as is, but this is not salvific in nature, or partaking of the table doesn't save us. That's our conviction. But it's a key response to faith in Jesus. It's a key aspect of the worship as we reflect on his battered body, on his willingness to hang on the cross and shed his blood to be the atonement for our sins, to cleanse us of our sins. Theologically, we would say that we celebrate the fact that Jesus is our propitiation. It's hard to spell, but propitiation is that God in his kindness offered God the Son to stand in my place, in our place, to satisfy God's just wrath on my behalf. Through his wounds we are healed, the prophet Isaiah tells us. So we take this really seriously. It nourishes faith. We don't necessarily hold here that this is the literal blood and body of Christ, but something supernatural, I would say, takes place when we gather around this table to acknowledge all of who Jesus is and to acknowledge all of that he's done. So I'm going to pause. I'm going to give us a moment just to reflect quietly and to pray. Some of us need to just, transparency before Jesus, right here in the quiet of this moment, no one's looking, just have a moment, just to ask him to search your heart, to ask him to forgive where you know you've been harboring sin, but that we would just have a quiet moment together. Remember, we're rooted in Jesus and we're growing together. So collectively, we just pause and we acknowledge that he is the perfect one. We are not. So if there's something that he's convicting you of, just hear quietly in the safety of this gathering. Just confess it quietly before him. Ask for his forgiveness. So Lord, we just pause here for a moment just to ask for you to invade our hearts and our minds, to bring cleansing and forgiveness where it's needed. So we take these moments now to seek you and ask you to search our hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a God that forgives, a God that delights to restore and to draw us deeper into who you are. Lord, we're thankful that you are, for those that confess, you are faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So Lord, there's nothing that we've been harboring or pursuing or leaning into that you're not willing to forgive and restore. So God, where we veered, we just come before you and we confess it and we move forward with confidence and peace of knowing that we are your children based on your work on our behalf through your flawless son Jesus, through his death and resurrection, and through his sovereignty as king at your right hand now and king of our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians this morning. In chapter 11, the Apostle Paul established and reestablished communion in the Lord's table. The church at Corinth was messy. They were broken and sinful just like us. They were abusing that time together. Some people were getting drunk in the gathering. Some people were eating and breaking bread. Others were not being able to be served at the table. Paul was kind of cutting through that, rebuking, challenging, and he reestablishes the Lord's table for us that we want to reflect on further here today. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, here in 25, or excuse me, verse 23, I'll read a little bit of the context. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Today, we reflect on the broken body, the sacrifice of Jesus, what he's done for us, and we remember today by taking part in this wafer together. Jesus, we thank you that you stood in the gap for us. You are our atonement. You provide cleansing from our sins. You are our propitiation, Lord. You have satisfied the just, proper wrath of God stored up for us because of our depravity and our evil ways. You've stood in the gap, making a way for us. And additionally, you shed your blood that would cleanse and restore and bring us to life. So we thank you for your great sacrifice. And Lord, send us out to live the same sacrificial way. That we put the needs of others before our own. That we would offer forgiveness where it's needed. That where disunity is bubbling up, we in love and the power of the Spirit would seek to be united as you've provided unity for us. You've brought us back into the fold with the Father. God, you're good. Thank you for hearing our prayers here this morning. In verse 25 in Luke, he says, "In the same way," I'll give you a moment to peel these back. If you need help, I got pretty good thumbs and fingers, but we'll observe here, reflecting and remembering his shed blood for us. So in the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in the remembrance of me. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Refresh us and restore us in your sacrifice. Encourage our faith. Stoke our faith in you. And Lord, may we leave here closer to you and to one another, that we would truly be your followers this afternoon and here at the fellowship table. God, that we would acknowledge you're the flawless one, and that you would carry us forward, and you would restore, and you would forgive. So God, we walk in the reality of the gospel, and we reflect on your great sacrifice day in and day out, and we long for the day where we will be with you fully, when all things will be right, when all the tears will cease, the sorrow will dissipate, the warring will end, and the beauty and power of who you are, we would revel in that, and we would rule, and we would serve, and we would worship you. And the confidence and peace of your redemption story coming to that final conclusion. Send us out, Lord, with confidence in you. Send us out to be your truth tellers, those that love and follow you. God, those that would be committed to seeing your kingdom expand at home and in our communities and wherever you send us. Send us out. May we go tell people, tell the world that you died, you were buried, but you rose. Pray your blessing on your people here today. And may we enjoy some fellowship now. And sounds like the kids are having a good time out there too. You're good, Lord. Thank you. Send us out to worship you this week, and bring us back safely next week to make much of you again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you guys. We've got some refreshments here. If you want to further get connected, we've made some adjustments here. There's a little connection card.